Bibles remain standing with me, and we're still in the book of Genesis. We're talking about the ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God. So our extraordinary God delights in using people like you and me. And turn to Genesis chapter number 37. If you're familiar with the book of Genesis at all, there is a center that majors on the God named Joseph. I know the teenagers are studying Joseph, the dreamer, right now, and that's going to be the topic for today. Amen. Talking about the dreamer today. Amen. And the title of the message is this, I'll give you up front, Ordinary People with Extraordinary Dreams from an Extraordinary God. Amen. By the way, God can give you some extraordinary dreams. Amen. He can give you some bad dreams as well. Amen. To make you get right with him. Amen. But extraordinary dreams from an extraordinary God given to ordinary people. And throughout this, I'm going to ask you the question. And the question is this. What extraordinary dreams has God given you? And he will give you some. And my challenge is this, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. If God gave it to you, don't let it go. Don't say, oh, I don't think. If God gave it to you, God's going to fulfill it. If God gave it, he's going to fulfill it. Amen. I'll clarify that in a little bit. I want y'all to think I'm up here being Pentecostal or anything like that, talking about, well, God gave me a vision. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Bible-based dreams, Bible-based dreams. Genesis 37, and we're going to start reading in verse number 5, talking about ordinary people with extraordinary dreams from an extraordinary God. Genesis 37, verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. In other words, they bowed down. His brethren said to him, they knew what the dream meant. Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Question mark. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Question mark. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. Told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. I want you to read verses 10 and 11 with me, because his father and his brothers knew exactly what this second dream meant as well. Start reading with me verse 10 and 11. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Talking about our ordinary people with extraordinary dreams from an extraordinary God. If we as ordinary people are going to be used for God for extraordinary things, then we're going to need to rely on some extraordinary dreams that God gives us. And they've got to be dreams that God gives us. And by the way, God will give you something. He will put it in your heart. He put in my heart the desire to preach. And God brought that to pass. Bible says man desired the office of bishop, he desired the good thing. And so I believe that God, when he formed us and made us, put a dream in us that he wants to fulfill with his extraordinary power, extraordinary might. Joseph is just one of those examples. Many of the things that have happened in our society are because God put it on someone's heart to fulfill. They in turn use God's great ability and power to fulfill it. We're going to look at Joseph's life today, and then we'll look at it next week, the second part next week. My encouragement is this. What has God given you by way of a dream that he wants you to fulfill? Don't let it go. Father, work in our hearts today. Lord, I know many are the dreams that are around this auditorium. Lord, you've placed it upon our hearts to do several different things, many different things. But Lord, some of those things are divinely directed and appointed by you to be affected by the power of God and the Holy Spirit's might. And God, those things that were extraordinarily put upon our hearts as it was placed upon Joseph's heart, help us do our debt level best to allow you to do it. We're just ordinary people. Lord, we've got an extraordinary God. You've given us extraordinary dreams, and they can only be fulfilled through the extraordinary power of God. So use the power of God in our lives. Help us to surrender. Lord, help us to hold on to that dream no matter what may happen in our lives, that we may see you truly working in our lives. If we're going to see extraordinary things, we'll need to rely on the extraordinary dreams that you give us to get it accomplished. And so, Lord, work in our lives. Help us to recall what it is you've placed upon our hearts in a dream, a divine dream. Will be Bible-based, Bible-driven, and Holy Spirit-inspired, and it will not leave us. It'll continue to go with us from day to day until we see it fulfilled. So God, help us to sort through and quantify what is of you and what is not of you, what you desire and what you don't desire, what extraordinary dream that you want to fulfill in ordinary people like us. We know one thing, that it's more than a dream, it's reality. You want people to be saved. Lord, there's one today that is lost without Jesus Christ. That's not a dream, it's reality. You want all men to be saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Lord, that is nothing that we need to dream about. It's reality we need to seize and take and fulfill by calling on Jesus to be saved. Lord, for us as Christians, help us that have been born again, that have been saved, to fulfill that desire, that dream which you place upon our hearts, no matter what the cost, no matter what we have to go through. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now the song, the message, then encourage our hearts through the preaching of your word today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
The blessed completation, when the trouble here I sigh, I've a home beyond the river that I'll enter by and by. I've a home beyond the river, mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Sweet will to meet them, all the ransomed of the sweet. Sweeter still to see my Savior. Praise for dear redeeming love. I've a home beyond the river, mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Oh, the world is filled with sorrow, and the tears drop falls above. There'll be me with joy and gladness, safe inside the jasper wall. I've a home beyond the river, mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. Though the hills are rough and stony, and the valleys dark and cold, I must walk the path before me. It will someday turn to gold. I've a home beyond the river, mansion bright and fair. I've a home beyond the river. I will dwell with Jesus there. I will dwell with Jesus there.
Gary, a home beyond the river. Amen. I'm so glad that God has got us a home. Amen. Matter of fact, He's got more than a home. The Bible says in my father's house, there are many mansions there. Amen. And so I'm glad we've got a mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. How many of y'all ever dreamed about living in a mansion? Amen. Yeah, I've never dreamt about living in a mansion. Amen. But I imagine it would probably be nice. Amen. But praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about dreams today. How many of y'all love dreams? Amen. I love dreams. Amen. I love good dreams. Amen. And I don't like bad dreams. Amen. Dreams of me being chased by lions, tigers, and bears, I'm not really a big fan of those types, you know. They say that if you die in your dreams, you die, period. I don't know. I've never died in any of my dreams. I've always gotten away, amen. Just before I was ready to bite the dust, if they would say amen, I woke up, amen. You have dreams of falling. How many of y'all had those dreams? You're falling, amen. And then you end up falling out of bed and you wake up, amen. And you know, I don't think I've ever fallen out of the bed, but I've had dreams of falling, amen. And that's not a good feeling. I guess one of the best dreams I had was the dream of the rapture. I remember it was almost like yesterday. I dreamt that I was being caught up, man, and I was floating up. And I looked around and I saw other people floating up, man. And I said, "Wee!" My wife thought I was choking to death, and she woke me up out of my rapture dream. And I came back to reality, and I was laying in bed. And I thought, oh, man, I was almost up to heaven, man. Then pulled me back, amen. And I had another dream just recently that I was flying, and it was cool. I mean, I was like this, and I was flying all over, and I was looking at people, and I flew up close to some cars, and I was looking in the cars. Then I took up, you know, and they just kind of looked at me, and like, where's this guy going, amen? And I woke up, and I thought, man, that's my flying days are over, amen? No more flying, but it was a fun dream. And my wife said, I have some of the craziest dreams. I dream about cartoon characters and stuff like that, amen. I know some folks say, I go to bed and I have nightmares all the time, amen. I rarely have nightmares, amen. But I have a lot of good, crazy dreams, amen. And I do believe that dreams can be significant. Sometimes maybe they're not significant. Sometimes it's based upon something that you ate that was bad, amen. Sometimes God can speak to you through a dream, but the Bible tells us now that He doesn't speak through dreams and visions anymore. He speaks through His word now, amen. But can He still contact us and speak through our dreams? Yes, He can, amen. We're not living in the day and age where we're driven solely by dreams like they used to be back in Bible times. But God can indeed use dreams to help affect His will in your life. Just be sure it's biblically based. A lot of folks say, well, I remember that one televangelist that he said that God was going to kill him if he didn't raise a certain amount of money. Amen. He saw this huge Jesus that threatened him. So now Jesus is into extortion. Amen. And he didn't die when the time came. So there you go right there. Amen. And so when you look at this, the title is Ordinary People with Extraordinary Dreams from Extraordinary God. The word extraordinary, again, means extremely good or impressive, going beyond what is usual, exceptional, rare, phenomenal, or uncommon. Then the word ordinary means normal, unexceptional, usual, standard, typical, common, customary, routine, regular, day by day. You and I are ordinary people. Exodus 3:14, Moses was told, I am that I am. Moses said, Lord, who should I say is sending me? He said, I am that I am. He said, you're an ordinary people, but I am what I am. Amen. And I'm going to do something through you because I'm an extraordinary God. Genesis 17:1, he told Abraham, I am the Almighty God. Stand before me and be thou perfect. Amen. And so God does want to use you and he wants to use me. Joseph in our text here is an ordinary person with extraordinary dreams given and fulfilled by an extraordinary God. And by the way, God gives an ordinary person an extraordinary dream, and then he goes about to fulfill it in an extraordinary and an unusual way. Throughout the life of Joseph, some extraordinary things happened, but also some unusual things happened as well. I just read a devotion this morning from Paul Chappell out of the new book, devotional book that he has called Trust and Obey. And it's fitting with what we're going to talk about today. Because you and I need to understand that when God gives us an extraordinary dream, it may take some time to fulfill. Amen. Hey, it even takes a baby 9 months to come to full birth. Amen. Sometimes a little less than that, but oftentimes it's about 9 months. Amen. That God wants to have the baby in the womb. And this devotion is entitled The Long Range View. What am I saying? Oftentimes when God gives you and I a dream, we think it should be fulfilled tomorrow. Amen. God gave it to me today, it should be fulfilled today. And that's not necessarily the case. He quotes Genesis 15 and verse 13 here in this devotion, The Long Range View. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed should be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. The iniquity of the Ammonites is not yet full. And of course, you know that was given to Abram early in his year, talking about how the children of Israel were going to go into Egypt, be there 40 years, be afflicted, but then come out. And he also said, Abraham, you're going to live to be very, very old. This did not happen overnight. Notice how the devotion reads. We live in a society marked by impatience. Somebody say amen. We want what we want, and we want it right now. I read recently of large companies testing same-day delivery options for their customers who are willing to pay for the privilege. If you got Amazon Prime, they'll get it to you within about 24 hours. It says, it seems there's a large market for this service because we have become accustomed to instant satisfaction. Somebody say amen. There are some who seem to regard thinking about next week as long-term planning. Next week is long-term planning. God works on a different schedule. He exists outside of time, and there is no hurry or haste in his program. Somebody say amen to that. Why do we think that God's in a hurry? Or better, why do we think God should be in a hurry? Peter wrote, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, 2 Peter 3:8. Because of that, God is not in a hurry. He is looking at the future in a different way than we are. His plans encompass hundreds and even thousands of years, and his purposes are deeper and richer than ours as well. By the way, did you know that you and I are a part of history? And God is interweaving our lives into history. And things that have been are affecting us, and things that are now with us will affect others in the future. Did you know that? Your children's lives will affect other people in the future, the same way your life has infected your children. Infected. Affected, amen. The same way your parents' lives affected you, the same way their parents' lives affected them, and on and on we could go. Our lives are intermingled. God has a timetable that's larger than you and I can imagine. He says down here, whereas we usually simply want change that makes our lives more comfortable, God is working out purposes that are much bigger and better than we could know to desire. What does that mean for us in a rushed and hurried world? Question mark. It means that we can relax and trust God with the timing of his plan. Now get this next sentence. We are not ready today for what he has for us tomorrow. Let me read that again. This is simple, but yet profound. We are not ready today for what he has for us to do tomorrow. Otherwise, he would give it to us today. Somebody say amen. We're so busy and worried about tomorrow when God says tomorrow will take care of itself. Let's just deal with today. By the way, if you're constantly thinking about tomorrow, you will never live today. Amen. Guilty as charged. We're not ready for today for what he has for us tomorrow. Otherwise, he would give it to us to do today. Instead of worrying about the future, we should trust in his wisdom and care. We must not fall into the trap of demanding God to work on our schedule, but instead trust his perfect timing. By the way, this is the testimony of Joseph and his extraordinary dreams. He could not demand God to work his dreams given extraordinarily by God to an ordinary person today, because God had a timetable and he had a pathway that Joseph had to go through, also that his brothers had to go through, also that his father had to go through. By the way, did not Jacob deceive his father by killing an animal and putting on the fleece? Well, his sons did the same thing to him. So this is bigger than just Joseph. This is involving Jacob. This is involving the other 11 brothers. This is involving this dream that's bigger. Your life and my life, our dreams given by God is bigger than you. Amen. Throughout the message, I'm going to be talking about some dreams that God has given me, and one was actually this church. And the dream that God gave me is bigger than me, even though God gave it to me. What am I saying? My challenge is for us to hold on to extraordinary dreams that our extraordinary God has given us. God may show you spiritually and extraordinarily what he wants to do through your ordinary life. Don't fret. He can do it. Hey, folks, if he can do this building, he can do it. There are things about this church that I had dreamt about, that I had seen already, that God did it. When I brought it to people, they said, that's never going to happen. But guess what? It did. We may be ordinary, but our extraordinary dreams in the hands of an extraordinary God can produce extraordinary results. When I say dreams, I'm talking about an assurance based on the revealed word and will of God, not your whims or your wishes. I'm not talking about a new car, a new Maserati. I'm not talking about a new house. Now, God may give you that, but I don't think that's a divine dream that God wants to affect in your life unless he has a purpose for it. I'm talking about something biblically based that God wants to do in your life, like saving souls. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, God may put upon your heart a strong desire for marriage or not to marry for his purposes and his will. Paul had a strong desire not for marriage. He encouraged others to say, don't do it. But he also says, others, that's what God wants you to do. Again, that's something that only God can do. Hey, by the way, when I met my wife, I was not getting married. I said, it ain't going to happen. I don't need to get married. I can support myself. I can do bad by myself. I don't need any help. But then I said, but if I do get married, this is how the person's going to be. You say, that's selfish. Well, they're supposed to be for me, aren't they? Not supposed to be for you. And guess what? God gave me the desire of my heart, my honey bunny, 35 years. He gave me exactly what I was looking for. Why? I had a list to make sure. Had my list, checked it twice. She was nice, not naughty. Amen. And so that's my challenge. You and I may be ordinary people, but God has extraordinary dreams he wants fulfilled through our lives. And it's got to be Bible-based. And the assurance on the word of God, the revealed will of God. I had some dreams that God gave me. I didn't have before I got saved, my wife said, I'm not marrying no preacher. I said, you ain't got to worry about that. I'm not going to be one. God saved me. God called me to preach. I was reluctant to tell her at first. Then I said, I think God called me to preach. As a matter of fact, she was telling me, ain't you called to preach? I'm like, no, leave me alone. You sure you ain't called Greek? No. Then I got mad and told him, maybe God's trying to call you to preach. Leave me alone. God, maybe he's calling you to preach. But God gave me that. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God gave me that desire to want to preach. God gave me the desire of this building. And God did a wonderful work with this building. We were going to move on the other side of town. Remember that, Pastor White? We're going to move way over there on the other side. God said, no, that's not where I want you to move. I want you to move right down here in this area. I said, well, there's no churches down here. Then God showed us this one. Then I began the rest of that dream. Well, God, you can give us the church. Why don't you just give it to us? And guess what? He ended up doing just that. Now, we had to take out a remodeling loan to get it to where it needed to be, but amen, I wasn't specific on the inside of it, amen, which I should have been probably. I remember the modular out there, and they had those old raggedy modulars out here, and I said, this is kind of I want. And God had to downsize the modular a little bit. I wanted a huge modular out there. It was going to take up half the parking lot problem, and TEP said, you can't do that. And I remember talking to an individual, and that individual said, that'll never happen. They said, this is a crazy plan that you got. I don't see that happening at all. It was a member of this church.
Whoa. Goodness.
But we're going to see some things today, and we'll see. We need to hold on to our extraordinary dreams in spite of people, number one. We need to hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of pitch, number two. We need to hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of prisons, number three. We need to hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of promises, number four. And also we need to hold on to extraordinary promises in spite of palaces. And then lastly, we need to hold on to these dreams because the ultimate purpose and potential of the extraordinary dream that God has given us is yet to be seen. God wants to do something with your life. Let me ask you this question. What dream has God given you? Be sure it's of God first. God is under no obligation to fulfill your whims. He's under no obligation to fulfill that which you think you want. But if I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me the desires of my heart. He's going to put a dream in my heart. He's going to put it there, and he's going to start fulfilling it step by step. Point number one, hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of people. In spite of people. Notice verse number 5 in chapter 37. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Again, God doesn't always speak to us through dreams. Back then he did. Today he uses his word, and he uses circumstances, and he uses people, and he uses things in our lives to affect his will. Right here, he used dreams. He told it to his brethren. They hated him yet the more. People are not going to always like your dream. Amen. I know this is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday tomorrow. He said, I had a dream. I believe a lot of that was given by God. I believe that with all my heart. Why? There's a lot of oppression going on, a lot of slavery going on in our nation. Now, it's always existed, and it still exists today, but I believe God used that man for that time for this nation. If it wasn't for that man for this nation for that time, you and I might not be here right now as we speak. We definitely wouldn't be here as black and white in the same ministry. By the way, back down south and back on the East Coast, in some places, it still is that way. Blacks and whites do not mix. But praise God that somebody had a dream and set out and gave his life for the dream. I don't agree with everything that Martin Luther King said. Let me go on record for that. But he said a lot of good things about race relations. He said a lot of good things. They hated him yet the more. Hey, what am I saying? Hold on to your dream that God's giving you is extraordinary, because everybody's not going to like your dream. Not everybody's going to like it. Notice verse 8. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? Hey, they said the same thing to Moses. Who made you ruler over us? God. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. You tell your dream to somebody, say, I believe God's going to do this. People may think you're crazy. Well, I believe God's calling me to preach. You're crazy. God ain't called you to preach. I didn't tell anybody I was called to preach. It took a long time before I told anybody. My wife, I share everything with her. That was one thing I didn't share with her. I want to make sure this is something that God put on my heart. This is not some passing fancy. This is not because preachers come and say, we need preachers. We need somebody to preach the gospel. Who? Me. I didn't want that to be me, because I knew if that was the case, I was going to fizz out. I wanted to be extraordinarily given to me of God, because if God gave it, I wasn't going to give it up. Amen. Extraordinary. They hated him yet the more. Went on to verse number 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it his brethren, and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon, mom and dad, 11 stars, brothers, made obeisance to me. Told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren, they knew exactly what that dream meant, and did come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the same. His brothers got slapped mad at him. Why? He already had a coat of many colors. He was already the favorite. He was already the most loved. And now we're going to bow down to you? I don't think so. What am I saying? Hold on to extraordinary dreams. In spite of people, people will not always support you. Your wife may not support you. Your husband may not support you. Your children may not support you. Your friends may not support you. Your church members may not support you. People at your job may not support you. People may not always support you. But if God gave it, hold on to your dream. Joseph found out the hard way that people aren't always before you. However, that did not detract from the extraordinary nature of the dream. If God did give it, God would fulfill it. Watch this, not people. It's God's job to fulfill it. Sometimes he uses people. But if God's giving you the dream, it's his job to fulfill it. Now, you may not like the way he fulfills it. We may want their approval of our friends and family and co-workers, but we don't need it. I dare say your pastor may not approve of your dream. Your pastor didn't give you the dream. God did. If God gave you the dream, you hold on to the dream that God gave you. Your pastor may not have the clue as to what's going on. I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything, because I don't. I don't know how God works in people's lives when he's working extraordinarily through ordinary lives. You look at Samson's life. The Bible gives the account. They knew not that it was of his own parents. Didn't know. Nobody knew. But that still doesn't detract from the extraordinary nature of the dream. It's God's to fulfill, not people. We don't need people to be successful for God. Now, let me quantify what I'm saying. If God's job is to fulfill it, he will fulfill it. You don't need their approval to be successful. All you need is God, and you let God work the people around you. That's his job. It's not your job to work the crowd. It's not your job to work the masses. You don't find Joseph going about saying, I'll affect my own dream. I'll make this thing happen. You will bow down to me. You will bow, mom and dad. It's going to happen. You don't find him doing that at all. God gave him a dream. He told him the dream, and he goes on about his business. What am I saying here? Hold on to the extraordinary dreams God gives you in spite of people. Remember when I first shared with God my intent, or shared my extraordinary dream about starting a church with some choice people that I thought could really benefit me? Pastor White and others have heard this story before. They said, oh, he's going to start a black church. I'm not interested in starting a black church. How are we going to come to your church? It's going to be like Sister Abigail. Yeah. No, it's not. It's going to be a New Testament church. Last time I checked, the church in Antioch had all kind of people in it. The church in Jerusalem wasn't like that. The church in Jerusalem only had Jews, and Orthodox Jews, and they started bringing others in there, and so they looked at Antioch as some kind of misfit church with all these races and all these nations and all these languages. They're misfits. But everybody thought I was going to start a black church. I wonder why. Because, well, that's how it goes in our society.
If you're black, you go out to reach black people. If you're white, you go out to reach white people. If you're Mexican, you go out to reach Mexican people. Yeah, if you're Filipino, you go out to reach Filipino people. But that's not what God said. God said reach people. He said go reach people. Hey, everybody have something in common. You know what that is? Sin nature. All have sin to come short of the glory of God. So if I'm going to reach people, I'm going to knock on every door. I'm not going to just knock on the black doors. Now, I may be able to identify more with black people because I am one. I may be able to identify more with drunkards because I was one. Maybe I identify with people that use drugs because I used to use them. I may be able to identify with this or that or the other. But at the end of the day, it's all about sinners. And God gives an extraordinary dream, gave it to me to start a church. I talked to some people and they said, you're going to start a black church. One was so bold as to tell me, who do you think will come hear you anyway but blacks? And I got fiery mad at that person. But you know what? It wasn't for them to fulfill the dream God gave me. All I got to do is be faithful and go ye therefore and teach all nations, amen, and such as will be saved, I baptize them and disciple them to do the same thing I did. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and whoever comes will come. If they happen to be all black, so be it. I knocked on every door. By the way, we went door knocking yesterday. G2, did we say, I wonder if there's any black people in this house? No, we didn't say that. Josh, we go up there and say, I wonder if there's any black people in this house? Terrell, did we say, I wonder if there's any black people in this house? Remember the one man that came out there and he was not black? Did we talk to him or did we say, you're not black, man? It's going to go away. Did we say that? No. Whoever opened the door, we talked to. Black, white, men, women, boys, girls, I don't care. Everybody needs to be saved. But you have some people, they open. I don't think you're our type. You don't want to come to our church, do you? I didn't think so. Yeah, I don't think you'll fit. You got too many earrings and too many nose rings and too many tattoos. I don't think you'll fit. You're bald, you're black, you're white, you're blue. I don't think you'll fit. No. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What am I saying? People are not going to always agree with what God has laid on your heart as your dream. By the way, anybody who follows the Bible knows that God wants all people to be reached. And I don't know why we have in this world pockets of society that will not integrate. They will not have blacks in their church. They will not have whites in their church. They will not have Hispanics in their church. They will not have Filipinos. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is about this nation that we still have a problem with segregation. And Martin Luther King was years ago. Jesus was years ago. And we still have that problem. That's why I go back to North Carolina all the time. And that's what he finds in North Carolina in a great majority of churches. At least they preach the truth. Still have a problem with it. Well, what am I saying? We need to hold on to extraordinary dreams that God gives us in spite of people. Hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of people. People are not going to always support you. Number two, hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of pits. Notice chapter 37, verse 22. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast them into this pit. His brothers are about tired of his dreams. They see this dreamer coming. He's at his father's obedience, and he comes down to help them out and find out where they're at. And they get him, and they're going to kill him. But his brother says, no, don't kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father. Reuben said, I'm going to try to get him back to dad. Notice down in verse 23. It came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of pits. There may be some low times in life. This was probably one of those times when Joseph said they were supposed to bow down to me, but instead they beat me, throw me in this pit. They're supposed to bow down to me, but they're mean to me. At some of the low times in life, you may question a dream that God's given you. Waiting on God's extraordinary dreams to be filled. We may feel like we're in a pit of despair, a pit of discouragement, a pit of despondency, but hold on to the dream. Why? God gave the dream. And God's able to affect the dream. Oh, yes, he's in this pit, and he's going through some tough times. People didn't support him. He's in the pit, but guess what? It's of God all the way. I don't know know what dream God's giving you, but I know he's giving me some. Sometimes I felt like I was in a pit. We had already rented the building, the storefront, and had to go through all these permits. And I remember they gave me fits about those permits. And I felt about as low as you could get. I felt like somebody had thrown me in a pit and walked away and put the dirt on top of me. They come out here, you need this, and you need that, and you need this, and you need this permit, and you got to get this, and get you an architect, $25,000. I'm like, man, we ain't got 25 people. You talking about $25,000. We don't have that. I remember I was feeling about as low as I could feel. I walked out of that architect's office, and he told me how much it was going to be, and I thought, glory, Lord. And I remember going to the bathroom, and I was just about to cry. I said, Lord, you laid this on my heart. You gave us this building, and they are giving me all this grief. They say we need this. I said, Lord, I said, what are you doing? I said, I thought this was a dream you gave me. The dreams ain't gonna always be easy. You may have to go through a time of pits when you feel low, when you feel discouraged, when you feel despondent, when you feel discouraged, you feel like, man, Lord, is this really worth it? If God's giving you the dream, hold on to the dream. I could have given up and said, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back to Pastor Nelson. I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to do this. I refuse to go through this. But at that moment, God sent me somebody. He said, hey, you. And I remember it was a guy that used to walk his dog in front of the church every Sunday. We were meeting at the school. And I kept inviting him out. He worked in the very office that I needed a permit stamp from. He said, what are you doing in here? I said, they give me all this grief about these plans and an architect and $25,000 and blah, blah, blah. He said, who? I said, that office down there. He said, I work in that office. He said, come here. He grabbed my plans. He went down that office. He stamped those plans just like that and sent me out within 15 minutes. And you talk about somebody, tears of doom that turned to joy. I said, it's just that easy. I went to God and I said, God, why did I ever doubt you? You always came through in the past. You've always done this in the past. Why did I doubt you now? I said, God, increase my faith. But guess what? You got to go through the tough times for God to increase the faith. I said, God, I feel so bad. I said, why did I doubt you? Why did I doubt you? Why did I doubt you? With a dream that you gave me, that you told me this is what you want to see. And I doubted you. What am I saying? I can only imagine what Joseph is going through down the bottom of this pit. But Lord, I thought they would bow down. I thought this is what would happen. I thought they'd be happy for me. Hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of the pits that you and I may have to go through. Hold on to the dreams that God gives. Number three, hold on to extraordinary dreams in spite of prisons. You find that when they draw him out of the pit, they sell him into Egypt to Potiphar. It's a prison. And notice 37 and verse 36. Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. They pulled him out, sold him to these individuals who sold him into Egypt. Come over to chapter 39 and notice verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So you've got Joseph now. The people aren't going to always agree. They didn't agree with him. There's going to be times of pits, and the extraordinary dream has to be held on through people, through the pits. But now, through the prisons, the extraordinary dream has got to be held on to. He's sold down here to Potiphar. He's going into Potiphar's house here, and Joseph is now sold to someone as a prisoner, and he is personal possession of Potiphar. In other words, he's Potiphar's property. I cannot do for myself. I've got to be told what to do. His extraordinary dreams are in jeopardy now. I'm personal property. I don't belong to myself. I can't make my own decisions. It was bad enough that the people didn't agree. It's bad enough that I was in that pit. But now I'm in a prison. I'm a personal property of somebody else. They possess me. Surely the dream should be forgotten. We go down to the end of this verse, down to verse number 20. Notice what it says in 39 and verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, place where the king's prisoners were bound. This is after the accusation that he had from Potiphar's wife, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So after Potiphar's wife accuses him in the Potiphar's house there, now he's cast into prison. But in this prison, he finds God's favor. The thing I want to tell you about this is even through going through those prisons, our extraordinary dreams, God's going to give us favor. Why? God loves us, and God's going to affect his will in our lives, and we have the favor of God. So it doesn't matter what people may do to me. It doesn't matter what pit I may have to go through. It doesn't matter the prison that I'm confined to, because I've got the favor of God. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. What am I saying there? Joseph found favor, and so Joseph stayed focused. He said, I'm going to bite my time down. I'm going to do what I know I ought to do. I'm going to stay focused, doing the will of God, doing the work of God. I don't care wherever I'm at. Paul said it, no matter what state I am, there with to be content. If God's given me this extraordinary dream, it's going to be in spite of people. It's going to be in spite of these pits. It's going to be in spite of this prison. I've got the favor of God. I'm going to stay focused and I'm going to stay faithful. Notice what he says. Verse 23. Keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What happened? He stayed faithful. Hey, folks, I've not always had an easy going of things in the ministry. It's been tough. But one thing I've tried to do is stay faithful, stay focused. Why? I've got the favor of God. And nobody should affect my faithfulness. I don't care what they do. I don't care where they go. I don't care what they say. God gave me the dream. It's his job. I just got to stay faithful. I just got to stay focused. I just got to stay fixed on what God wants me to do. Joseph here says, you know what? Remember that dream God gave me? They were going to bow down, but you know, here I am. People didn't agree with that. It's an extraordinary dream. I don't know why. They threw me in a pit. It's an extraordinary dream. I don't know why. I'm in a prison. It's an extraordinary dream. I don't know why. I'm just going to stay fixed. I'm just going to stay focused. I'm just going to stay faithful, because that's what I know I'm supposed to do by God. That's what I'm supposed to do. Hold on to extraordinary dreams God gives you. I remember we came up to that point where the custodians had to open up the church for us. We started September 30th, 2001. And September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, everything was going well. We came up to May. They said, well, over the summer, you can't meet here because the custodian don't want to come and open up doors. I said, well, we're paying money. They said, I don't care. Summer vacation. He don't want to come. I thought, wow. I felt like I was in a prison. School's going on summer break, and now we're locked out. We can't do anything. We got no place to meet. We got no place to go. I felt like I was a prisoner. I was like, what are we going to do now? You going to put us out on the street? Again, back to Egypt we go. Guess God wants me to go back to Bethel. No, I didn't say that this time. I said, okay, if y'all going to lock us out, I feel like a prisoner now, and y'all going to lock us out, we can't do anything, then God's going to provide us someplace else to meet. Why? This is his dream. I don't care what the people say. I don't care what pits I'm in. I don't care what's going on with this prison. God's going to give us a meeting place. And you know what God did? God gave us a little storefront back on 22nd Street near Swan. And God did one better. Gave us a Christian landlord. And he did one better. Gave us a price we could afford. Amen. Amen. God opened the door for a meeting place. Not only did God do that, he gave us all the things that we needed from one of the construction guys that was there named Greg Jester. Greg Jester's church was closing down, gave us these flags that were here, gave us some of the chairs, many of the chairs across the hallway there, gave us my clear plastic pulpit that's needed surgery right now, amen. Gave us whiteboards, amen. Gave us all sorts of things for the church. What am I saying? Hey, doesn't matter what the people say. Doesn't matter what pit I'm in. Doesn't matter the prison I'm in. If God's given me an extraordinary dream, hold on to the dream. You've got God's favor. Be faithful. Stay focused. It may not happen when you think. But God's never late. God's never late. We're going to close here. We're on chapter 40. Notice verse number 2. Of course, Joseph is in prison now. When Joseph is in prison, God gives him some interpretation dreams. Verse number 2, Pharaoh is wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Come down to verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man his dream in the night, in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dreams. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Come down to verse 8. And they said unto him, they were sad, of course, and he said, why are you looking sad? And this is their reason. We dreamed a dream. Verse 8. And there's no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Then in verse number 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Go down to verse number 18. Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. He gave an interpretation for the butler and the baker of their dreams. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because extraordinary dreams have to go in spite of people, in spite of pits, in spite of prisons. And Joseph said, if I can interpret their dreams, I know mine's is coming true. I just need to wait on God. He said, dude, don't they belong to God? I got a connection with God. And if he could interpret their dreams, don't you think he interpreted his own? And I serve a faithful God. It happened just like he said. The butler was restored, verse number 21. He restored the chief of the butler again to his butlership again, and he gave up the cup. He gave the cup unto the Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, notice this, as Joseph had interpreted to them. He knew his dreams were going to come to fruition despite the people, despite the pits, despite the prisons. The dream still lives on. Hey, folks, if God's giving you an extraordinary dream, don't let it go. You might have to go through some tough times. Maybe you've got some dreams for your children that God's giving you. Maybe as a husband and wife, you've got some dreams that God's giving you as a couple. Maybe as a Christian, God's giving you some dreams. That's what he wants to do with your life. Be sure it's biblically based. But you've got the favor of God. You just got to stay focused. And you've got to stay fixed and stay faithful. What we do oftentimes, we want to get ahead of God. We want to run. We want to stop being faithful to God to chase the dream. You never stop being faithful to God to chase the dream. You don't find Joseph chasing the dream. Sometimes that's why God puts us in the prison, so we can't chase the dream. Sometimes that's why God puts us in the pit, so we can't chase the dream. Sometimes that's why God gives us people, so we can't chase the dream. Well, I got a majority and they approve, so it must be of God. No, no, no. You know it's of God when God does it despite the people, despite the pits, despite the prisons. Amen. Hey, folks, against all odds, God said, I want you to start this church. This is what you're going to do. Going through back surgeries, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing the end from the beginning. And God brought it to pass against every odd that there could possibly be. I can't take credit for any of it. Amen. Neither could Joseph. Next week, we'll finish up with this area. My encouragement is, if you got a dream that God's given you, Bible-based, you've got the assurance of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, God's telling you to go for it. And you go despite people, but you better make sure it's of God. You go despite the pits you may be in, but you better make sure it's of God. You go despite the prisons you may find yourself in, but you better make sure it's of God. If it's of God, He's an extraordinary God. His job is to fulfill it. Your job is just to be the ordinary instrument in the hands of an extraordinary God. Joseph, going throughout this, the dreams weren't in him. What did he say about the dreams? He said, do not interpretation belong to God. He said, it ain't of me. He said, I can't do this. This is God's job. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but God has done some marvelous things in my life. And every dream he gives me, I hold on to it. I hold on. Have I always been faithful and had all this faith? No, but moment by moment, God's given me more and more faith based upon what he's done in my life. I'm trusting him to fulfill it. I'm just an ordinary person, just like you. But, oh, I serve an extraordinary God. And when he gives me something, he's able to affect it in my life. Joseph here is an ordinary person. He's no different from you and I. God just chose him as an ordinary person, an ordinary instrument to work through his life. And you're going to find out at the end, it was to save them all. Wow. Extraordinary dream. Ordinary people. You know what? I said it before and I'll say it again. It's not a dream that God wants us to be saved. That's reality. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But as long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. His goal is that we would all come to the knowledge of the truth and get saved. And so if you're here today without Christ, he loves you and he wants you to be saved. That's not a dream, that's reality. He came unto his own received him not. But to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's extraordinary power, to become a child of God. If you're not saved here today, you need to be saved. But if you are here today and God's giving an extraordinary dream, hold on to it. He's not going to do it in your time. He will do it in his time. It might take you to go through some people that don't agree. It may take you going through some pits where you feel low. It may take you going through some prisons where you feel confined. But you just be faithful. Be fixed and focused. Why? You have his favor. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for what's happened in Joseph's life. Thank you that, well, we're not anything special. We're ordinary people. But you've used Joseph. And Lord, you want to use us. And I pray, Lord, that all across this room, those in whom you have deposited an extraordinary dream, they may continue to let you work out your perfect will. It may take some time. It may take some years. It may take going through people. It may take going through pits. It may take going through prisons. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you. Increase our faith through it. Make us what we need to be. If there's one today that needs Jesus Christ, save that man, save that woman, that boy or girl. For whatever that dream is that you've given to them by divine inspiration, help them, Lord, to do what it takes to be fixed, focused, and faithful because they have your favor. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you are a God that gives us the word of God to base everything on, and help us to walk in faith of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow and let's stand up to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, and looking around. The music is about to play. As you think about what God has laid upon your heart by an extraordinary dream, I don't know what that dream is, but I don't need to. You be faithful to God. You be fixed. You be focused. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, you've given me a desire. Give me a dream. It's biblical based. Maybe I want to see my grandmother saved, my grandfather saved, my mother saved, my father saved, my aunt saved, my uncle saved, my children saved. Hey, folks, that's more than a dream. That's reality. God wants them to be saved, too. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they're in a position where they need your intervention, your intercessory prayer. We talked about that on Wednesday.
Why don't you come down and pray for them? But through it all, you hold on to that dream. Despite people, they may not agree. Despite the pitch that you may be in, you may come to low periods and low times in your life. When you're wondering, God, what? Why? God, why? What's going on? Why is it not happening the way I thought it should? You may come to those points where you feel like you're in prison, you're shackled. You can't do the things that you believe you ought to do, that God's calling you to do. Just be faithful. Be focused. Be fixed. Keep trusting God. You've got God's favor. I don't know where you're at, but I know what God wants. And God wants to use you and I as ordinary people to effect His extraordinary will through His extraordinary power in our lives. As much as God wants to do through Shining Light Baptist Church, He's going to use this church to fulfill His will. And He wants to use you. And He wants to use me as ordinary people to extraordinarily see others saved, to extraordinarily see lives changed, to extraordinarily do what we can't do on our own, to do as Joseph did, be an instrument used by God, ordinary people with an extraordinary God, with extraordinary power. What dream has God given you? Let Him fulfill it. Just make sure it's of God. Make sure it's of God. Oh, my faith has grown over the years in what God has shown me, because God was able to do it. And I couldn't take credit for it if I wanted to. But oh, He's done some marvelous things. I might not have been in a pit, but sometimes it felt that way. Might not have been in a prison, but sometimes it felt that way. Might not have been envied by all the people, but sometimes it felt that way. Joseph was misunderstood. I can tell you, I felt that way. He was put in a pit by people that should have loved him. I felt that way. Sold into prison by his brothers. I felt that way. Preacher, what are you going to do? Be faithful. What are you going to do? Be fixed. What are you going to do? Be focused. Why? I've got the favor of my God, who gave me the extraordinary dream. But Father, thank you for what you've worked in Joseph's life and how he's a picture of what we may have to go through to fulfill, see fulfilled in our lives an extraordinary dream. And oh God, I do pray that you would give us the stamina that we need, spiritually speaking, and give us the strength we will need, spiritually speaking. Lord, help us recognize this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. And your time is not our time, your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are not our thoughts. And the people that you're using instrumentally, the pits that you're using instrumentally, the prisons you're using instrumentally are all there to help strengthen us to see the dream that you've given us to be fulfilled. And at the end of the day, Lord, our dreams that you've given us is normally not about us, but about somebody else that you want to use and bless through us. Help us, Lord, to be used to bless others, to see others saved, to see others surrender, to see others serve, to see others through our sacrifice. Thank you for what you've worked in my life. Lord, these 17 years of ministry, more than these 20 plus years that I've been saved, you give me dreams, and I've seen them fulfilled before my eyes. Lord, many others in this auditorium have seen you fulfill their dreams right before their eyes. And God, although it's not been easy, you've prospered, you have blessed, and you've encouraged. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us and your favor to us. And help us to reciprocate that by just being what you would have us to be. Dismiss us with thy blessings, Lord. Bring glory and honor unto your Son through us and through our dreams. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.